Welcome to the Operation Move podcast. My name is Zoe and I'm here with Kate, who is out and about walking.
Yep, and I'm all puffed out because I just did my first run for week three of Learn to Run, which
Yay.
I'm in the March group and I'm loving it. It's so nice to be running again.
Yeah, I'm having a fun day because I'm one of our coaches, Rachel, she's not available today, so I'm looking after one of the March groups today, which is always so much fun. I love Learn to Run. It's so cool.
Oh, it's the actual best.
So, yes, that is what we are up to. I am caffeinated. Are you caffeinated? I hope you are.
Oh, not enough.
Last night. But not enough.
I'm never caffeinated enough these days. I have a 10-week-old, didn't it? Speaks for itself.
I can't believe she's 10 weeks already.
I know. It's every Tuesday I have this moment where I go, oh, how has this happened so fast? And I have a flashback to the day she was born, and then I quickly veer my mind away from that again because it wasn't the best day of my life in some ways. It was in others, but oh my gosh.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's even now, like, you often get a bit of sort of like rose-coloured glasses looking back after enough time has passed. But even now looking back, I'm like, yeah, less than fun.
And when someone, you know, tells you about their own birth experience, if they've just had a baby, you have this moment where you feel it in your belly and you're like, no, no, yeah, nup.
Yes, no, like, babies, awesome process to get the babies, less so.
Ridiculous. So, there has to be a better way.
Yeah, somebody's got to invent something. I don't know. You know, like, I mean, I know, like, a lot of, because I had a C-section, a lot of people are like, well, that's so easy, you know, you just need the ties and, like, yeah, nah.
Yeah, I don't think so, no.
You know, like, it's, like, I know there are a lot of people who had a more, benign C-section experience than what I had. And mine was not, like, mine wasn't an emergency, so I was conscious and everything like that. But even so, that was a pretty, you know, like, I was, like, they were yanking and I was, like, moving up and down on the table. Had never been in hospital before. It was certainly not the easy way out that some people would have you believe.
Oh, no.
And
people,
the recovery was, like, insane because, you know, you're having major, you're severing major abdominal muscles and it's, you know, it's much better now because they do it a lot lower. So it's, you know, less invasive than probably what it used to be. But, you know, like, I was sort of like rolling out of bed like a ninja for 6 weeks because I couldn't, like, sit up straight. So, yeah, I would challenge anyone on that C-section as an easy method scenario.
No.
It's not at all.
No, absolutely not. Look, honestly, the easiest birth I had was probably my fourth, and I had a home birth and it was lovely, but I watched all these YouTube clips in the months before and they put soft music over the top, so you get this, you know, idea that it's this peaceful thing. And I know that now, that they put the soft music over the top to hide the screaming that still happens because it still freaking hurts. And, you know, by comparison, you know, my most recent birth was probably in some ways the hardest, but, you know, she got out and I'm not doing it again, so it's all good.
Yeah, there's always that moment where you have this, the deep fear that they're never coming out, that you're not going to be able to get them out. And
yes.
I know I've definitely had that with Piper. She was a vaginal birth, not a C-section, where I was like, they're going to have to cut me open because this is not happening. I'm not doing this. Not today.
Oh, I remember that moment all too well. Well, it was only 10 weeks ago where I'd said, you know, I need an epidural. You don't need one. Yes, get me the epidural. And they got it. It takes that little while to work. And everything was a bit, you know, fraught and stressful. And I had this moment where I thought, they're going to suggest a C-section. I'm going to go, yes, do it. Just get that baby out.
Yes. Oh. So today we thought, because I saw there's a Twitter hashtag on that goes on Run Chat where, and somebody, not sure who moderates it, but they have questions every week and it's usually on different topics, and sometimes they'll have a sponsor, which is what happened the other week when I was happened to be online at that time, because it's usually, I think it's an American thing, but it's usually works out to be Monday morning our time, and they had a sponsor and you know, like what the sponsor does is, you know, like I think it's a great thing. They've got like one of, it's just like they do like an ID bracelet. So it has your name and your emergency contact details, which, you know, it's not nice to think about. But if you, happen to be running on the road, accidents can happen. And if a lot of people will be on a run without ID, and it makes it easy to identify you and who your next of kin is and all of that sort of stuff. That's why they have it on, you know, like on the park run barcodes too. So, you know, in essence, I've no issue with the sponsor at all, but because the sponsor is about safety, they were asking all of these questions about safety on Twitter, and I was like, really? Oh, I don't know. You know, I'm extremely uncomfortable with it. So one of the questions I saw was like, do you feel safer running in the morning or at night? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, it's actually not about me. You know, like, people obviously need to feel, you know, like confident when they're running. And for me, oh, it doesn't really affect me if it's morning or night. I prefer to run in the morning. That's just when I prefer to go because it's cooler and I enjoy it more as a start to my day. But it's actually about perpetrators. And when do perpetrators feel like they would like to perpetrate an attack? So why not just ask them? Because they're the ones who are controlling that situation. And I know why, like, I think that people, a lot of times when we have this argument over safety, people will say, well, why wouldn't you want to protect yourself? And I think the fact is that particularly women protect themselves 24/7, 365 days of the year. It's completely ingrained. We're never not doing it. So, you know, to have this kind, and then you kind of go into this thing of, well, if you do A, B, and C, you will never be the victim of an assault, which is a nice thought. Like, I'd like to think if I did three things, then I could completely protect myself from ever getting into a bad situation. But it's just a lie, because there's nothing that you can do that is going to completely protect yourself from that. And what do they want you to do? Like, just stay in your house for the rest of your life? I mean,
yeah, fear is a terrible thing. I went for a run on Saturday morning. It was the first time I've been anywhere by myself in 10 weeks, so it was excellent just for that alone. But it was, you know, bright, sunny Saturday morning, and I was exhausted at the end of it, and I was walking home, and there were a couple of guys on one of the streets on my home, and I just instinctively crossed the road. I had no good reason to do it. Like, there's no reason I couldn't have walked past them, but I just felt this moment of discomfort. I just thought, I want to be a bit further away. It's what women do. And it's horrible that, you know, we even feel it when each other. I don't think I even did it that consciously, but I did, because we'd been speaking about talking about safety, and I had this moment of, oh, look at me just doing it without even thinking about it. So I think, you know, it is something that women particularly are conscious of constantly.
Yeah, I mean, it's even like when I went down to Sydney and I was staying with my brother, and it's not an area that I'm familiar with really. And I was saying to him, I'm going to go for a run. And I'd sort of like, I looked at my run and thought, I'll go down to the river and run on the path. And he's like, oh, good. You know, like, you're going down to the river because, you know, like around where he is, you know, can be like, you know, there's some unsavory types. But that's the thing. Like, I've already gone there and planned that because I'm always thinking about that, you know. Like, that's just life. That's just how it is, you know. Like, I know that there are some sort of, like, panic apps or, like, tracking apps that you can have. So, you know, you're significant other or your family knows where you are. I haven't taken that step, but I do always have my phone with me. It would be rare for me to go on a run without my phone. I think I've done it like once or twice. So I think like all of those things are happening to have this kind of pressure on safety kind of for me takes it into much more of a kind of like a victim blaming mentality, because I don't know anyone who isn't doing all of that stuff anyway.
Yeah, and that just totally sucks. I remember a couple of years ago there's a space that I run that sometimes has some not great stuff happen there. And I thought nothing of it. I was like, oh, you know, I could outrun anyone. Anyway, was my theory, you know. And I was doing hill sprints there one day and I saw my phone ring and I just ignored it. I'm like, I'm doing hill sprints. I can't talk right now. And realised later that my, you know, now husband had been trying to contact me and he knew I was there and he freaked out. And I was kind of like, that's so over the top and ridiculous. And yet a week later when I was running there, there was something happened there that has stopped me running there by myself. But his reaction was to be like, I want you to run there with a friend or to have some way of protecting yourself, which, you know, he's like, we'll get you a taser. Hasn't happened. Haven't got a taser. But, you know, and so his instinct is to protect me, and it kind of got up my nose in one way and I loved it at the same time. Like, I appreciate that he's worried about me. But at the same time, why should I have to do that? Why should I have to do that just to go for a run where I want to go for a run? And, it, you know, it does kind of suck.
Yeah, and I mean, I know, you know, it's one of those situations that's really fraught. And I sort of tend to come back to, you know, like there were before we moved, like probably like, oh, it's probably a couple of years ago now, there were a couple of incidents at this local park, which I ran at all the time because it was, you know, somewhere that's hilly and it was sort of like a 500 meter loop around the park. So easy to do intervals in the morning. And there was like, because it was sort of close to some street lights, it wasn't as dark, you know, when it's early in the morning and you're not on the road. And so it was like a good place to run. And just back then, Josh had a habit of following like North Coast crime on Twitter or something like that. So he always knew all of the incidents going on everywhere. And I think eventually it made him too crazy. So he stopped following it, not for running stuff, just for other stuff, you know, like it's just the kind of thing that, you know, like an anxious person should not be listening to or paying attention to. So, but, you know, it's sort of like, you know, and I was aware of it, but I was also like, well, you know, like there's just not going to be anywhere that is safe enough, you know, and I just can't sort of go through my life like that, you know, like obviously I do what I can, but I can't, you know, just go, oh, well, I just won't run early in the morning then. Like that's, I don't want to make those kind of drastic sort of changes on the basis of the fear of something might happen when, you know, I know that, you know, the most, and this is probably kind of seems unrelated, but when I guess I was about 22 and I had these friends who I grew up with and they were like brothers and they were, you know, like a year and like 3 years younger than me. So at the time they were, I think, 18 and 21, and their mother, who's, you know, great friend of my mum and, you know, a friend to me, and she was a, you know, like a quite prominent therapist and super super healthy, like in everything, you know, not just in what she ate, but also in terms of like meditation and yoga and all of that sort of stuff. And she keeled over at this 21st birthday party for her son, and she had lung cancer, and it was already in her bones at that point before anyone even knew what happened. And you know, it's the kind of thing where when people hear lung cancer, they think, well, you know, like must have been a smoker. No, never smoked in her life. And I think just, and it was just so, like everyone was so unprepared for it because it was just such a shock and not something that you would ever, you kind of like to think of things like diseases or things that happen as like, as having a cause, something that somebody could have done to prevent it, but there was just nothing. And, you know, and I kind of think of safety in a lot of ways. Like, it's not to say, oh, there's no point being, you know, being healthy or taking care of yourself, because of course there is, but there's also just like awful stuff can just happen and there's no reason for it and there's nothing that you can do about it. So the way I kind of come down on it is like, well, what if I made all of these drastic changes to my running schedule in the name of safety, and then, you know, like I could have an intruder while I'm at home, you know, like bad stuff can just happen no matter what you do. So I might as well do the things that that I love and not let it change my life. Yeah. In that way.
I think there's a big difference between being aware of risk and living in fear.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, being risk aware and, you know, there might be a particular area near you that is known to have not great behaviour going on there, so you're not going to run there specifically. But, you know, you make other choices. You don't have to reorganise your whole life around it. I do think things like the name wristbands, like they're a good idea for health reasons. You know, if you fell over during a run or you hurt yourself, you know, and you can't speak, whatever.
Particularly, you know, like if you have any kind of allergies that, you know, like health professionals would need to know about in terms of treating you, you know, like it's all important, important stuff. Stuff to know, and for, you know, your next of kin to be easily contactable should anything happen, and, you know, like it's just that's all good stuff. No issue with that whatsoever. It's more all of the kind of like there's some American running groups where they're constantly talking about running gear that will accommodate their concealed weapon.
Oh, I'd just shoot my foot off or something stupid. Oh,
man, yeah, like, I don't know if I'd be running with a gun.
Oh, my Lord.
That seems like a safety risk in and of itself, really. Yeah. I don't think that is necessarily
No, I can hurt myself really well without carrying a gun. I don't need to add that to the mix.
Yeah, and you just see how stories can get sort of like perverted slightly to make women more afraid than they need to be. You know, like there was I think like last year there was an attack on a woman at the beach in Byron, and the guy was arrested, and that somehow locally got morphed into this thing of, oh, a woman was out running. Hey, she wasn't running, she was on the, she was lying down on the beach. In your area, like, yes, it's the Northern Rivers, but not exactly my area, you know, like Byron is, you know, a good 30 or 40 minutes away from where I am, and he was arrested, so he's off the streets anyway, you know. And those kind of things get morphed into, oh, you have to, you know, like only run with other people, which I enjoy running with people as much as the next person. But if I was required in some way, or I thought that I needed to only run with other people, I would rarely get a run in.
Oh, you know, I would never.
Like maybe on the weekend I might. And so that would be a huge, huge sacrifice to make. And, you know, and it is kind of something that women naturally do. Like I saw this thing, somebody was writing something on Twitter when was response into, you know, violence against women. And, you know, like whenever you have a thing on violence against women on the internet, people are like, not all men. And you're like, yeah, but it's all women. Like, and so she was talking about that, and she was saying how she thinks that, like, guys think that women go to the toilet in pairs because they like to chat. She's like, yeah, that's not why. So no. It's all sort of stuff that is really ingrained in women anyway. So I don't really think that there needs to be like a whole heap of, you know, safety things that women aren't doing that they shouldn't be doing when they're out. But, you know, like I think that there are just things that, like, probably for me, the things that occupy me at the moment is more like daylight saving is going to end this weekend, thank the Lord, and is like running in when it's really dark without like twisting an ankle. That sort of probably concerns me more. So like I'm having to run at the moment on like where there are street lights, so that's a lot less likely to happen. And there's some cool inventions with that. Like one of our coaches who I also coach, Catherine, she posted a picture and she was given a gift of these shoe lights. So they're just like attached to the shoes.
Awesome.
She's in the States, so I'm not sure if they're available here. But I thought, oh, that's pretty cool, because I've certainly used like a neck light in the past, but really what I need is to be able to see my feet, you know, like so I can see where I'm stepping more so than what's in front of me. And although, you know, also this time of year where it's so dark, it's very easy to run directly into a spider web.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel so like gross. The heart of that safety conversation, you know, if we could all focus on changing that from, hey, ladies, don't go running by yourself, it's not safe, to, hey, men and other horrible people, don't be rapey and attacky. Like, if you could shift the focus, that would be great. That would be really great. That's what I want to do for my kids.
I think a lot of people go, oh, well, you know, like, perpetrators aren't going to respond to that. Well, they're not going to respond to, you know, like, women always being in pairs either, you know, like it's sort of, you know, like I think that you can also look at ways that men who are also often out running at that time can be sensitive to that. Women can sometimes feel vulnerable and adjust their behavior. So, you know, like if you're out running behind a woman, don't loiter behind her, either drop back or pass. You know, yeah. Like having somebody like sort of sitting on your tail behind you is creepy.
and you know what? Most good men, I think, are aware of that as a concern for women, because they have mothers and sisters and wives, and, you know, they know that that's something that we just have in the back of our minds all the time. You know, and so they do make better choices that aren't going to feel creepy. But it kind of sucks that that's even necessary, let's face it. I mean, it's like when we talk about, you know, with children, and people say, you know, you've got to get your daughters to dress appropriately and don't invite danger. No, I've got to teach my sons not to be scary perpetrators. That's my job. It's not to change my daughters. My daughters are fine.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there are just so many, we could go... could seriously deep dive into that situation. Like how if boys are kind of, you know, I shy away from using the word bullying, because I think like bullying is more of a systematic than what is often you know, just being a-holes. You know, but you know, I think that a lot of time people are quick to say if a boy is giving a lot of is either, you know, physically pushing or pulling hair or doing things that, you know, like kids will often do to a girl, they'll say, oh, he must like her.
Ugh. Yeah.
As an example. And that's kind of, you know, like, and a lot of people will kind of poo-poo that. But that is just one example of where that kind of stuff starts. You know, that it's not, you know, oh, he needs to change behaviour. That it's like a positive thing, and you know, and girls are constantly put in the position of having to modify their behavior, while boys are often given the thing of, oh, that's just boys being boys.
Yeah, you're meant to respond with a giggle instead of glaring at them and telling them to piss off.
You know,
I mean, so... and if you're teaching little girls that, then you know, that's not great. I do feel like this conversation is shifting though, like even from where it was when we were kids, I feel like there's a better sense that that kind of thing is not how it works. It's not how we want children growing up and thinking about relationships between men and women. Like, I feel like that focus is more positive, but it's sad that I think that's happening as a direct result of increased violence against women in our society.
Yeah. I mean, I think that more and more people are, you know, aware of it, but I also think that, you know, I think that there is sort of like a lot of, you know, insidious stuff that just, you know, continues on, like dudes who ask you to smile when you are like buying something at the service station, and you're like,
because your job is to be attractive.
Yeah, you know, like, and like, and anytime, and if you kind of react to that in any way, like you're being difficult,
you're a raging feminazi.
Feminazi, or as I like to say, yes, because equal rights is totally the same as invading Poland. Totally. So, I think that there's still a lot of that stuff that is going on, and I'm more and more aware of it now that, the girls are getting older and Riley's occasionally wanting to, maybe on her scooter or on her bike, not necessarily around the block, but sort of like up and back on the street. And, I'm having to severely moderate my panic reflex about that, about like when she goes out of sight and I'm waiting for her to sort of like come back into view and all of that sort of stuff. But yeah, I do think that it all sort of starts at an early age where, the dress code of girls is policed a lot more at schools than what boys are in terms of, length of skirts and, whatever else. So, yeah, it can be, quite an involved thing. And I think the main thing that I worry about with the safety is that it gives this people, well, if I do A, B, C and D, kind of like gives them this sort of like false sense of security. And like there are certainly like lots of things that that you can do in that vein, particularly probably most of the places I run around here are really quite popular places to run. So for the most part, all I see when I'm out running are other people who are also out running and walking at that, very early, early time of day. And, there are sort of security measures on apps that you can do. Like if you are on something like Strava, you can sort of like block, if you put in your address, it will block the part of the run that is near your house, so people couldn't look at your Strava and then figure out where you live.
And that's just common sense kind of stuff. It's like I used to live out in a very rural area, and I remember going for a 6K, which is my favorite round the block, and the block that I ran involved running past maybe 10 houses because it was that big a block. And it was the day I did my ankle. I saw a snake. I jumped. I fell into a ditch and I did my ankle. And I had my phone with me, but I had no one I could ring. And I remember thinking, I wish there was a way, because I had to limp back home with a busted ankle and my knees were all bloody and I did a really good job of it. I remember thinking, I need to have something in place so I have a way to contact someone if I hurt myself out here, because it's very different running in the country to running it. Like if I fell over out here, there are heaps of houses around, there are cars going past, as you can hear. Someone, you would hope, is going to stop and say, hey, are you okay? That's not necessarily going to happen if you're rural. So it's good to have measures in place where people kind of have an idea where you are and when to expect you back, or you have a way to contact them. Because if I had fallen on my wrist, for instance, or my phone had flown away and I couldn't move, that would be a lot harder than it was.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that's the kind of safety there's more benefit in talking about than the kind of perpetrator stuff, which is unlikely at best.
Yeah, I mean, extremely, extremely unlikely. And, obviously people talk about, sort of like with headphones blocking out sound so you can't hear, as being a risk, but most running specific headphones allow in ambient noise, not just because of the perpetrator risk, but so you can hear traffic.
Which is the bigger risk, I think, probably.
Yeah, and like I see probably like far more people out running on the road in the when it's pitch black in non-reflective gear, and I think that is like, I'm like, it's like roadkill waiting to happen, because you are out in the dark wearing all black, and particularly where I am, which is you know, not rural, but it's, you know, regional enough that people aren't always going to, you know, like people can like tear down those roads and like, and not sort of like, and kind of drift into the shoulder, I guess. So, you know, if I was running at that time of day on a main road, I'm like, you know, like I'm wearing fluorescent colours. I've got, you know, things with reflective stuff on them so that I'm going to be...
Yeah, get a bit high vis.
Very easy to spot. And sometimes even if I don't necessarily need like a light, having a light so I'm really easy to see is going to help. I mean, I don't sort of have so many places like that that I run anymore now that we've moved, because a lot of my runs, like after CrossFit, that's all on, because I do that down at Ballina and there's like plenty of footpaths there, so I run on the footpath in the dark, not on the road. But there are lots of things that you can do like that, just to be aware that, you know, dressing like a ninja is not what you want to be doing in terms of road safety at all.
No, I think the key thing with safety in general is just to know your area, know where you're running, you know, have a plan in your head where you're going to go, have an idea what street lights there are and what the surface is like. If it's not a great surface, maybe rethink it or make sure you've got a torch. It's really common sense. And if you're going somewhere where you don't usually run, make sure you speak to people who know the area beforehand, and they might be able to tell you where's a safe place where you're less likely to hurt yourself.
And also, because, you know, like sometimes you might be running in a new area and not be aware that it's a, you know, like a dog's off-leash type of area, and which, you know, is generally not a great place to go for a run.
That would be my biggest safety fear, to be honest. I hate that. I hate dogs. I'm terrified of them chasing me.
Yeah, and I mean, I think not everyone knows this, but I was walking, like doing my walking cool down. So I wasn't even running. It was after a run. It was just like sort of just after a sunset. It was getting a bit dark and I was just walking along a main road, and all of a sudden this German Shepherd cross came out of their place, fence your dogs, people, and latched on to just like onto the back of my thigh. And like it really, really hurt. But then I had to go down to hospital and wait to get, you know, a tetanus shot, because, you know, it had been a while since I'd had one, and, you know, dog bites can go pretty bad pretty quick. And you know, like I reported it as an incident to the council, because as it turned out, I was not the first person that dog had bitten. But that more than anything was the incident that eroded my confidence with running. You know, like, yeah, just because you would in the area that I was living at the time, people were quite lax with their dog ownership responsibility. And so I'd be running along and people would have, just on the road, and people would have their dog off lead. And they'd be like, oh, it's okay, she's fine. I'm like, you know that. I don't know that.
No. You and know. All it takes is a toddler getting bitten on the face and things are not fine.
Yeah, you know, like you just don't know how, what is going to happen if a dog gets scared, you know, like it's, so I think that for me that it took age, and even still, like I was running here the other week, and there was a dog on the other side of the road, and it wasn't fenced, and generally dogs are unlikely to cross the road, like they know not to. But I was so grateful at that moment, a couple of cars were coming up the road, and so I was able to kind of use the cars as coverage to get past the point where the dog was. But it still totally is, and generally speaking, where I am now, people are a lot better about having their dogs properly fenced so that can't happen. But it's still, every time I'm running along and I hear a dog barking, like I'm sure like my heart rate goes up like unbelievable, because it still totally panics me, and it's a hard thing to know what to do, because you know the just the instinct of a dog is to chase someone who's running. So you know, if you do happen to be in a situation like that, my advice is to stop running and walk, because they are much less likely to chase you if you are walking, and just, you know, and generally that's what I would do when I come across dogs that are either unfenced or that they're off leash without their owners, because sometimes, you know, people are really not so much here, but where we were before, there were plenty of stray dogs with no real home, and they would kind of like run around the neighborhood in a pack, for want of a better word, which is always a bit terrifying. So yeah, usually the best thing is to stop running and walk, like even though your instinct is to just like, you know, put the foot down and run, sprint off as far as you can. Generally speaking, it's much better to walk until they get distracted and do something else, and then, you know, go off again. But yeah, for me, I think as far as running safety, that is definitely a far bigger concern to me than anything else that that might happen on a run, because it's so unpredictable. And in some ways, I think that that's probably also how, you know, like how people should think about like the sort of like the risk of, you know, an assault. Is it's kind of the same. It's completely unpredictable. You know, it's other people who, you know, are essentially in control of that situation, not you. Like, obviously, I don't make a point of going down areas where I know there are loads of unfenced dogs. I'm going to be doing that. But there are plenty of places where I've been like, oh, this is nice. You know, this is a nice area where there aren't too many dogs, and they'll be running around one day, and then one will start barking. Like, shit. You know? So,
yeah, I feel like the key message is don't spend your life worrying about these impossible what-ifs that are out of your control, but do prepare for the things that are in your control. Like, dress appropriately, know where you're running, understand the terrain, have the appropriate gear.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that it is one of those things too where it's good to, like, Josh knows my schedule pretty well, that on, you know, Monday, Wednesday and Friday I go down to CrossFit and then I run down in Ballina. Now, if I was sort of planning on changing plans, I would let him know and say, I'm not going down to CrossFit today, I'm just gonna run around here, so that if anything happened, he's not gonna be looking for me in a completely different suburb than where I am. And you know, just, you know, there are lots of things you can do to just as with anything, there's always going to be times when, you know, like, it's sort of, you know, you think, oh, you know, are you being overreactive or whatever, but I think it's just all about what it takes for you to be confident. You know, because that's the situation in which you're going to enjoy it. So, you know, doing what you need to do so that you are going to be out there enjoying yourself and, you know, not on high alert the whole time and concerned about your safety, because that's not fun for anyone.
That's not going to be fun, exactly. And the whole point of all of this surely is to be enjoying yourself and feeling good.
Yep, exactly. So I think that that's pretty much all of our big safety tips. Is she asleep or is she sort of half?
She's still asleep, and the horrible, cruel thing is I'm going to have to wake her up. They say never wake a sleeping baby, and that's like the best rule in the world, but she had her lip and tongue ties lasered yesterday, which was about as much fun as it sounds. And for the next 2 weeks I have to wake her every 4 hours and stretch them. Ooh. Oh,
that sounds awful.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem to hurt her. I think it was one of those cases where it actually does hurt us more than it hurts them. I'm sure it hurt her at the time, but she recovered within seconds. We, however, still have the ringing in our ears of her screaming. And both of us teared up a bit and were clenching our hands going, oh, poor baby, is this the right thing to do?
Oh, yeah, it's awful, isn't it? Like Riley had an accident when I think she was under, she would have been under one, and her tongue, like she bit down on her tongue, and it was like it was sort of like almost split and kind of like hanging. And I took her down to the hospital, and that they looked at it and they're like, oh, like one tiny bit we would have to intervene and stitch it, but tongues recover really, really well, and she hasn't actually bitten through the entire thing, so we were just gonna leave it. But like, yeah, like there was just like, because with tongues, just like so much blood, and it
Oh,
was just
so
as
much.
well. But like, my dad happened to be there at the time when it happened, and he definitely had a much cooler head than me. I was like, oh my God. But,
Well, I was definitely the calmer one yesterday, or I was hiding it better, perhaps. But then I've had four other children, one of whom has a habit of breaking bones every 3 months. So my tolerance for child pain is possibly higher. Poor Rob did not have a good day yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, by the time you've gone through like all of the, like all the bumps and injuries, like Riley's like smacked her head on cement, and like the tongue, and like all of the vaccinations, and like all of the teething, and like all of that sort of stuff. Like now, like Piper, hit her head, she literally like smacked head on into someone in the playground.
Oh.
And she got this big egg on her forehead, and she's like, it's sorry. I'm like, yeah, you'll be right. It's fine.
Yeah, they're made of rubber, really.
So,
Maybe we should be thinking like that in terms of safety. We'd be laughing, really. We have that kind of resilience.
yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just, I think that there's a lot of, I think there's a lot of it that, like, that's valid, and then I think there's a lot of it, like, how much you let it get into your head and destroy something that is, would otherwise be perfectly enjoyable, or for something that may never happen and you can't control anyway.
Yeah, I think that's half the problem being a grown up. You've got all these preconceived ideas in your head that lead you astray. We were saying in the car yesterday, like she literally screamed while she was having this done, came in, gave her a feed, and that was it, was smiling again. And I said to Rob in the car, you know what? Like, that's amazing. I'd still be screaming the house down and complaining and telling you how much it sucked. But that's the thing, isn't it? As grown ups, we have all these ideas around pain and fear and all of that, where she's like, oh, that hurt. And then I had warm milk, and now I'm good again.
Yeah, I mean, and it's the same with what they say about how animals respond. Like, animals respond to immediate threats, and then it's over, and then they're fine. And humans just have this ability to kind of like recreate that threat ad nauseam. So you're always in a state of high stress and fear. And I think, there are a lot of things that help with that, like sort of mindfulness practices and, things like CBT, like if you have a specific, fear or phobia of something, to sort of like help you work through that, definitely. But I definitely think that we have a lot more of ability to, sort of like hang on to something, and you kind of hang on to something long enough that on the odd occasion it happens, you're like, yep, here we go. That's proved my theory, even though it's, like there could have been, 10,000 times that it didn't happen, and once that it did.
What it did, exactly right.
So
Hard to be a kid.
yes, it's all. I think it's one of the great things about being a parent is you kind of get to see, what they're like, and you think, I could learn a bit from that, and not always get sort of so caught up in all of the sort of like the stress head, land of adulthood.
Yes, absolutely.
So we are going to be back next week. At the moment, in addition, Learn to Run is starting in April, but we've also got something which I think is a little bit different, which is going to be a lot of fun for people, particularly if you are not into, like huge amounts of training and, running and all that sort of stuff, because we're doing this thing called the Whole Life Challenge, which is a worldwide thing, so it's not our creation. It's I heard about it on another podcast. I thought that sounds really cool because he created this app-based challenge, which is goes for 8 weeks, and it's across 7 habits instead of just one. So instead of, and it's a kind of you know, like there is an exercise component, but it's sort of like 10 minutes a day, so it's a really easy entry point. And it also covers things like hydration and sleep and mindfulness and lifestyle, and you know, so there's the 7 habits that people work on, and it's points based, so you sort of like compete in a team, which is great for accountability and keeping you motivated. And it starts on the 20th of May, but we're accepting registrations for our team now, which is great because you get to do it with a whole bunch of other Operation Move people who are also doing it. And as a prize for whoever wins, with, you know, within our team, I am going to offer the winner either 3 months of Fire and Fast coaching with me, or about 6 months of custom training plans with Run Club. So whoever wins, awesome, can pick whatever they would like. I think it's a really going to be an awesome thing because I had a quick look at also what the nutrition options are in it, and you can kind of pick like a level, like if you just want a bit of a kickstart, or you want to do something that's more lifestyle based, or if you want to make a big change and do something that's more performance based, you have all of those options, and it's quite easy to follow in that it's more like you know, these are the foods that you will have in moderation, these are the foods that you can have as many as you like, and these are the foods that you would attempt to avoid for the course of the challenge. And then you can also, because there are 7 habits, you might go, yeah, I'm not so fussed on the exercise and nutrition part, but I really like to work on, you know, like mindfulness and sleep. So you can kind of focus on the areas that are important to you. And there at the moment it's primarily on an iPhone app, but there is a Android app that is in beta, so it's not in the like in the Google store as yet, but that you can download it from the Whole Life Challenge website, and so you can still, yep, use it even if you're on Android, which is awesome. And they are releasing an app for it soon, so I don't know how development goes. I'd be kind of hoping that they might have that on board before we start. But, you know, I remember how long it took me to get a finalized website, so I'm not exactly going to be holding my breath on that either. Yeah. And if we get a lot of people who are interested in it, then we'd also, they run it 3 times a year. So they do May, September and January. And it goes, each one goes for a couple of months, and we will link up like where you can sign up, because up until May, I think it is on early bird and you get $10 off what it would normally be. And if you've done it before, it I think it's something like $39, and it's in US dollars for new people. And if you've done it before, it's $29. So, you know, if you did this round with us and then wanted to do another round in September, you're going to be able to go in at that reduced price for recurring customers, which is good. So, and I know how much people have enjoyed like the various step challenges and stuff like that going on in Run Club and in the community group. So I think this is going to be a great thing that everyone can do together, especially as it's going to be, you know, sort of like in the doldrums of winter when people start going, I don't want to go outside, it's too cold. Totally feeling autumn here just yet, because it's like, you know, it's 28 degrees today, but I'm sure it's just around the corner. And it is hard, you know, when you're in the middle of winter and it's so dark in the mornings to get motivated. So having things that are sort of like keeping you focused, maybe on some of those other habits that are going to support your training when you feel a bit more like you want to go and do things outside once we get into spring, then, you know, it can be a great thing for that too.
Yep, looking forward to it. That's going to be a fun one, something different.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So, as always, if you have anything that you would like us to chat about on the podcast, just let us know either email or in the community group. And I think that's pretty much it. We've had a good run with little Missy. We'll quit while we're ahead.
Yeah. I'll chat to you next week.
See you then. Bye.